University of Georgia Griffin campus invites you to join us for news and information about the many and varied programs and activities at the UGA Griffin campus. Information about gardening, the agriculture programs, and your UGA degree at the University of Georgia Griffin campus. Your UGA degree is closer than you think. This program is made possible by Frank and Carolyn Harris of Round Oak Resources Tree Farm and Murray & Company Realtors. Listen each Thursday at 9 o'clock a.m. for the UGA Griffin Campus News. This program is produced by WKEU AM 1450 and 102.3 FM and The Rock 88.9 FM and streamed live on our website, WKEUradio.com. Join us now with our guests from the UGA Griffin Campus.
And good morning and welcome into this week's installment of the University of Georgia Griffin Campus News. The topic for today is going to be the fall graduation ceremony that is coming up 1 week from today, and we have a full house. This will be one of my more favored programs because we have a house full of students. Joining us this morning is Dr. Crystal McDowell, the Assistant Director of Student Affairs on the UGA Griffin Campus. We also have a couple of graduates in the PhD category from the College of Agriculture and Environmental Sciences, Fawad Khan and Krishna Katwal, and Emily Smith, who is an undergraduate student who will be receiving her diploma from the Franklin College of Arts and Sciences. Welcome all of you to this morning's program.
Thank you. Good morning. It's great to be here.
And I'm Tony Brasky, by the way. People at home want to know who's talking to them. I'm the sports director here at WKEU AM and FM, and I'll take you through the next hour with our guest. Dr. McDowell, we'll start with you. You know, graduation, always a bittersweet time of year, but you yourself recently graduated from UGA with a doctorate degree. Yeah. Remind people a little bit about yourself so people know who it is that they are listening to today.
Sure. Well, good morning. I am Crystal McDowell, and I have the pleasure of serving as the Assistant Director of Student Affairs, a.k.a. Dr. McDowell, Dr. Mac, whichever.
Is that what they call you now?
Well, Dr. Mac is becoming more popular. So, I'm from Thomaston, Georgia, born and raised, you know, UL, Upson Lee.
Now, were you Upson Lee or you R.E. Lee?
Actually, Upson Lee.
Okay.
Yep.
Just had to ask.
I'm a little younger. I know. So, taught high school, actually, can you believe it, then transitioned into higher ed, and I love higher ed. I love working with students. I've been working with students over 20 years. So, yeah, I have the pleasure of working with these wonderful people who we have with us today.
Well, now you went to Wake Forest
yes,
to do your
I
undergraduate
did.
Work, so you are somewhat familiar with the Atlantic Coast Conference, which is a pleasure for me. But
go Deeks.
Okay, so you know, you mentioned that you started out at the high school level, and now we're in higher education. What are some of the differences? I mean, I know the job responsibilities are a lot different
sure.
because high schools don't have directors of student affairs. But what are the biggest differences that you find in dealing with college students as opposed to at the high school level?
You know, Tony, to be very honest with you, I think that's a really great question. But I honestly find more similarities than differences because on the human level, right, you know, they're all students. They're all purposing to navigate a very important part of their life, whether they're purposing to graduate from high school or purposing to graduate from college. They're all purposing to navigate this major change in their lives. And so some of the things that I found find similar are that they're just great human beings, amazing human beings, smart human beings, and they really just need people to, you know, be in their corner. Because, and I will say one difference though with college students is that they have pretty much their lives, they're more academically focused, particularly in
I was going to say that
right?
seems to me
right,
to be the biggest that's
yeah.
one thing I'll say about every student I've encountered at the UGA Griffin campus
yeah.
is the level of focus that they dedicate towards their endeavor.
Absolutely. And I know we may get into it later, but we have a Rhodes Scholar here. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Just amazing.
Oxford.
Right? Yeah, exactly. Like, you know, Fawad. And so, but yeah, I did graduate from UGA with my doctorate in student affairs leadership. So I was a student actually on the Griffin campus.
Did that experience help you better relate to the students in your department?
Absolutely. It's the term called scholar practitioner, right? And so at the end of the day, yeah, it's great to learn all this theory, but to be able to make decisions around to apply that theory when it comes to my practice was phenomenal, and I think it was very helpful for me as a scholar practitioner at the Griffin campus.
Okay, now we'll just go from left to right here as we're reading off the page, and we'll go to Emily Smith now, who is an undergraduate student about to graduate from the Franklin College of Arts and Sciences. Emily, you know, tell people a little bit about yourself, your academic background, and what led you to the UGA Griffin campus. Then tell us what your degree is going to be in.
Well, I actually started at Gordon State College. I was a pre-nursing student, I only took the pre-nursing classes because I was really interested in science. I actually had no intentions of being a nurse. And then I went and ate at the Dundee Cafe on the Griffin campus and realized that they actually had undergraduate degrees there. And I had been double majoring in psychology and pre-nursing at Gordon and realized I could complete the psychology degree at the UGA Griffin campus. And that's what led me to there. It's a beautiful campus. I've enjoyed meeting everybody. It's very close-knit. I will be graduating with a BA in Interdisciplinary Studies and a BS in Psychology.
So you're one of those double dogs.
I am.
And do you have any plans to continue your education beyond your graduation next Thursday, or is that something you're just going to kind of leave up in the air for now?
Oh, no. I plan on pursuing a master's. I would love to work in special education, so I plan on pursuing a master's in that.
Congratulations on that. Now let's go to Krishna Katwal, who is a CAES graduate, getting your PhD in what?
Crop and soil science.
And tell us a little bit about your background.
So originally I'm from Nepal. I finished my high school there, and then I did my undergrad in India, and then I came here in USA in 2015 for my master. And I completed my master from New Mexico, and then, I was always interested in plant physiological research, and I found out there's a professor in UGA Griffin campus who works, who has really decent lab for turf grass physiology. And I contacted him, and, he had a great research, and then I started joining UGA Griffin campus since 2017. It's already been 4 years. Finally, I made it. I'm glad.
Well, now you seem to be decreasing in size of the size of your school. You start in Nepal, then you go to India, and then you go to New Mexico,
right.
And now you're on a tiny campus at the University of Georgia Griffin. How did the smaller class sizes and the more direct association with your research professors,
right.
how did that facilitate you earning your doctorate?
So even the class is smaller. They have decent amount of research facilities. It's a small campus, but research-wise, it does have really broad research facilities. So that actually attracted me, and that's why I'm here. So class size, definitely, there was in some classes, a small size, 10, 15 students. But when you have a small size class, there's more chance that you could you could interact with professors, teachers. So that really helped me to learn skills and technique in research. So most important thing is not only class size, the research facilities they have at UGA Griffin campus is really, a decent amount, so really good for future researcher like me.
In a perfect world, what do you hope to do with your degree?
Since I'm a turf grass physiologist by this time, having PhD degree, so my hope or my, my desire to do in the future is just to, improve plant stress, abiotic stress tolerance by increasing their stress tolerance mechanism. Basically saying making plants to, survive in more drought condition, how we could grow these plants to produce better yield under severe climatic condition where there's, for example, high temperature condition, high salinity condition, very low water status, water available situation. In those kind of adverse climatic situation, how we can grow the plants to have better yield. That's the hope, of my research. That's the aim or goal of my research, to improve their tolerance mechanism or yield eventually,
And now let's turn to Fawad Khan, a Rhodes Scholar. We're going to get into that momentarily, but give people a little bit of an insight as to your background and what led you to UGA Griffin.
Yes, I am originally from Pakistan, and I did my undergrad in 2011. And after that, I moved to University of Agriculture, Faisalabad, Pakistan, and I did my master's in entomology from there in 2013. And after that, I was in different teaching positions in the universities as a lecturer. And in 2017, I got the Fulbright Scholarship. In 2018, I moved to US. And presently, I completed my PhD in, the beneficial bugs, the friendly bugs in turf grass that naturally controls the bad bugs around. So I completed my PhD in that, and it was a wonderful experience in UG Griffin so far.
And what do you wish to do with your degree? I mean, considering that you have been a lecturer in the past, is that something you would like to explore, or do you want to just work more on the business and industry side of turf grass bug management, so to speak?
Yes. So I wish to join academia in the future because I have some experience before. So technically, I am also made for. I feel I am made for like academia and teaching, and the research. So I wish to go back to my country, and serve there as a university faculty.
How difficult? And I want to, you know, Krishna and Fawad. How difficult is the cultural transition from Pakistan and from Nepal to come to the United States and not only have to pick up the English language, which is one of the more difficult languages to learn because of all of our irregular verbs, but to have to pick up scientific terminology, words that are foreign even to us as Americans who've spoken English all our lives? How difficult of a transition is that, or is that something that just came to you kind of naturally?
So basically the undergrad and the master's, most of the schooling there is in the English language. So, but the thing is that the English language there is a little bit different. And when you come to US, you feel a little bit difference in the way of speaking and the pure English, because there we mix our local language with the English, and you know, it is a kind of mix. But yeah, in the first semester, it was a little bit difficult. But then we, our frequency was tuned into the flow, and it was good after that. And
yeah, Krishna, as Paul was saying, it's the same thing in Nepal too. You know, our undergrad, high school, all of those, especially you know, English subjects and science subject, they all teach in English, and the science terminology is always similar wherever you go. I mean, they all always similar, so that helped. Really, you know, in a great extent to, you know, study in the USA too, because they use a similar scientific terminology. And English-wise, yeah, as he was saying, initially it's difficult because the actual native speaker speaks, you know, they have different accent, right? There's a problem.
And you're in the South, where it's at its worst.
Yeah.
So there's, of course, some issue initially understanding like the same word they're pronouncing in different way. So, you know, I confused many times. I still remember, you know, so it's small stops, you know, but when they say it, you know, it just sounded different. So.
And how about the slang terminology? I mean, that's something we in English, we have, you know, all sorts of slang. That's got to be a little bit difficult to pick up on sometimes.
That is the toughest thing.
Yes.
Well, you know, before we get into getting back into the subject of graduation, Fawad, we have to ask, you know, the University of Georgia, each and every year, since to be one of the leading institutions in the country for the Rhodes Scholars Program. How did you get into that program? And, you know, congratulations on making it. But, you know, what was that process like?
Actually, I want to just like, I am on the Fulbright scholarship. So the Fulbright is actually, it gives the scholarships all around, even in the USA and internationally, it is the biggest program. And this basically is composed of international students and also the US nationals. So every year they select the students from different universities across the world and also from the US, and the students, they are given the opportunity to study at different institutes.
So, I mean, that's just incredible that you could, you know, that's a world renowned. The Fulbright scholarship only goes to the very best and brightest. So congratulations on that. But to get back to the topic at hand, Crystal, you know, how different is graduation going to be this year, next Thursday, as opposed to what it was when the COVID crisis was at a little more severe than it happens to be right now?
You know, Tony, it is a little bit different this semester. When I tell you, I think we're up to maybe the seventh type of plan that we've had for graduation after COVID. We're really excited about this one because it will be held on the lawn of the Student Learning Center, and we've never, to my knowledge, we've never done that before.
Let's hope the weather cooperates.
Yeah, we have a backup plan.
Looking at the long-range forecast from today, it looks like we're going to have sunny skies and temperatures in the mid-60s.
Excellent. So my rain dance must have worked. So, so we're going to be on the front lawn of the Student Learning Center. We have, once again, because with COVID, we didn't invite our Athens cohorts and our college representatives, but Dean Broder will be here, the Dean for Facts, Dean for the Mary Frances College of Education, and Franklin's Dean will be here to support our students. Along with our program coordinators and, of course, our campus, representatives as well. So we have a keynote speaker. We did away with that during COVID because we were outside at the Brick Pavilion, but we brought that back. And Tony, if I could, Emily, I would like to ask you, to share with you that the way the process goes is that for our student speaker, our program coordinators nominate, and then the graduation committee selects. And Emily, you have been selected as our student speaker for the...
Well, congratulations on that.
Is she
just finding this out?
She is just finding it out.
Well, I was going to ask, have you even started the speech? I guess that's obviously a no.
So do you accept?
Yes.
That saves me an email. Excellent. So congratulations.
That's excellent. That's terrific. You have any, off-the-cuff remarks that you might want to cover, or...?
I don't know.
Well, talk about pressure. You've got 7 days.
I told her at the beginning, I was like, I'm going to ask you a question. Just say yes. Like, went into the answer. But her face, I wish I had my camera. Her face was classic. It was beautiful. But, honor well deserved. Honor definitely well deserved. So we're bringing that back, the student speaker, and we're real excited. We're planning for 150 people to show up. If more can come if they want. We've already asked the students about the number of folks who, will be supporting them. And I tell you, thanks to Fawad, we have a student who's coming from, is it Florida? University of Florida? Yeah.
Yes.
Grenish. Yeah. So a student who graduated last semester, she's coming back, because it's about that brick, Tony. I'm telling you, it is about the brick.
So. Will we be able to do the brick ceremony? Dr. Bunton had mentioned, a week or so ago that it was kind of up in the air, and it was, because of some renovations going on at the Woodruff Pavilion, that it might not be possible and it might have to be postponed till a later time. What's the status of that?
Excellent question. So thanks, actually, to Dr. Bunton. We have a graduation committee, right? And so we're always trying to figure out how to best serve our students. And actually, I got to give kudos where kudos is due. We had three scenarios about this brick ceremony. Where do we place them? How can we place them? And the idea was that we can place them in front of the Student Learning Center. We got approval to do that. So, air five to Dr. Bunton on that. And so it was awesome because we try to work with local vendors and they're able to write on the brick, if you will, to engrave the brick. However, we still need to actually use the brick from the pavilion. So one day we'll get back to the pavilion, but right now, we will be in front of the Student Learning Center. So you guys, the students will indeed receive a brick and be able to lay it in the ground.
With the increased enrollment, pretty soon you're going to run out of space.
Yeah, about that, right? So we're going to keep working forward, with what we have. And there was some work done to increase the space in the pavilion, but now, of course, we can't be there, so we're going to maximize the space in front of the Student Learning Center, which I think is awesome.
You mentioned that you'd be able to accommodate a crowd of 150, possibly even more. Would this allow families that more local students to be able to participate in the occasion?
Absolutely. So
Emily's parents are going to want to come now.
They absolutely yes. And so we asked the students because they have to register for it, so that we can get the
get a body count.
Exactly. And so we're from that, the students were asked to, I think it was up to 5 people that they can bring. But of course, if they need to bring more, we're outside. They can, sit on the peripheral of where the seats are. So, from that number, we set it at 150 based on their responses.
But for families like Fawad and Krishna, we'll be doing online streaming of the graduation as well. I mean, because their families wish to participate in it as best they can.
Absolutely. There will be live streaming, and we normally will send that link out to the students once it's up and going. But we've done that every grade, even when we had to only do a brick ceremony. So absolutely, because we have students from India, from literally from Africa, all over the world, whose families want to participate. And so thanks to our IT guys, Batman, Superman, AKA Lee Taylor and Avery Bray, they help us to facilitate that special moment.
I have to mention this every time Lee Taylor's name gets mentioned. He is the IT director here at the station. His his parents own the station. So, shout out to Lee. Good job there. We call him Boo.
Boo?
Because he is my boo.
Oh! I didn't know that.
How many people will be graduating this year? I mean, is it true that fall is typically a little bit of a lighter ceremony in terms of number of students in the spring?
Well, typically. However, this semester, we extended the invitation to about 31 students.
Wow, that for the fall, is that a record?
Exactly. Yeah, it was the largest that I've seen. But we have about 19 who have said that they would come back and physically be there on that day.
Well, now let's ask our students, because they are eligible to walk in Athens as well.
Absolutely.
Do any of the three of you plan to go to Athens for the ceremony, or is that something you're just willing to forego?
I guess I'm going, and Paul is joining too.
Yes, I will be.
Emily, are you going to walk in Athens, or are you going to just kind of leave it to the... Because this isn't officially a graduation on the UGA Griffin campus. It is a conferment, I think, is how we term it.
Yeah, the degrees are conferred in Athens by by President Moorhead. Absolutely. So you're right. This is just a celebration.
But look, to me, it's all the same. Because, I mean, it's a culmination and it's a celebratory occasion for all the hard work.
Absolutely.
Now, let me ask the three of you, and Emily, we'll start with you. Did you ever think this day would come?
No. It came a lot sooner than I expected, I think. I was planning on graduating in the spring and then realized I could graduate this semester. And it has thrown me for a loop a little bit. I'm surprised. I am still a little bit in shock.
Do you see any advantage in terms of either continuing your education or entering the workforce of graduating in the fall? Because most people graduate in the spring, which makes the competition for open positions a little more stringent. Do you see possibly an advantage in graduating in the fall?
I do.
Or are you just tired of school and just decided, hey, that fall's it?
No, I love the UGA Griffin campus. I'm going to miss it dearly. But I see sort of an advantage because I have a little bit of time to focus on applying for grad school now instead of trying to do schoolwork and applying for grad school at the same time in the spring.
That's an excellent point. You know, Krishna, do you see any advantage? I mean, did it just fall on the calendar? Is that just the way your class is lined up that you're able to graduate in the fall as opposed to the spring?
I don't see much, like there's much difference graduating spring or summer or this time. I mean, for research-wise, there's some advantage, especially since a lot of turf grass started growing from, springtime and then summer.
People are going to need you.
Yeah. So that time probably a lot more activity is going to be, going on there. So I would probably do more work. Other than that, if there is more research, of course, there is more chance of grant and, postdoc opportunities, I would say. Other than that, it's pretty similar.
And Fawad, does this open up any academic avenues for you as well? Or is it just... I mean, how did it come to be that you're graduating in the fall as opposed to spring? And did COVID have any impact on the classes that you could take? Or is just in the manner of course of your education, it just happened to land in the fall?
Yes, I just happened to land in the fall because my research and everything was just like fine at this point. So I decided, I talked to my major advisor, Dr. Joseph, and he said, we can ask committee. And then my committee said, yes, you are fine to graduate. And all of my research objectives were looking good at that time, so that's what, because in PhD most of the work is you are just looking for your research objectives, are you ready? Then you have to ask your objectives. So objectives say we are ready, so then we can graduate.
Was the dissertation process nerve-wracking? Was it, how difficult was it, and when it, have you had your judgments yet?
Right. I mean, it's depends on how many project you have done and what kind of work you have done. If it is some works are more molecular and more complex, even writing and things like that. So not only that, amount of the writing sometimes takes forever. Like for me, it took like 3-4 months, so I was constantly inside the room writing. That's all I did that time. So it's definitely time taking and mind intensive job, but if you are really focused into it, if you're really trying to graduate, then if you really want to your degree, do something research, you have to do it.
Yeah. Well, just go ahead, Fawad.
It was like, yes, as Krishna said, it was like a little bit tough in the end because, but the good thing is that based on our program and my major advisor, I would appreciate him. He planned the things really well for me. for write-up. And we finalized many chapters well before the last semester. And in the last semester, I was only working on a couple of chapters. So I was not that much, because otherwise it would be very tough if we just pile everything to the end. So it was good.
Well, I have three doctors, two that are about to get their degrees, and then Dr. McDowell. And Emily, I'm sure if she wishes to be, will be one soon enough.
One day.
What is the process of defending your dissertation like? For me, I would take it personally, like, how dare you attack my research? And I mean, it would be a very argumentative type thing. When I worked with the Cartoon Network, we used to have fights all the time when they would try to edit my material. Yeah. So is that kind of the same process for you? I mean, do you take it personally, or what's the defense of a dissertation like for people who may not know?
We fought for 3 hours.
See, then we're on the same page.
Yeah, it's definitely a process. It's
right.
Definitely,
yeah,
a process.
I mean, there's four or five. In my committee, there was five different professors, right? So all, three of them in plant physiology. One was plant breeder, and other was, molecular scientist. So they all have their, different back. I mean, not very much different, but their own like skills and scientific knowledge they have, right? So you have to make argument that you have to make them all agree with your point. In that case, there's always some difficult questions comes.
You can't get five people to agree on where they're going to have dinner, and you're going to get them to on some highly scientific things.
That's what I was saying. We had to fight for 3 hours, and only they agree, okay, you can pass now.
Fawad, was your experience kind of similar to that?
Yes, kind of similar, because basically the PhD defense is of two parts. The first part is of you have to give a presentation to the public, and it's open to all. And the second part is you and your committee. And it is a little bit tough, because, but I feel like the discussion I had before, it was after the defense, because most of the my committee was fine with the presentation. And after that, they asked the questions. And it was in a discussion manner, so that I did not feel that much difficult, because they were just discussing some emerging issues and some problems of insects. So it was kind of a discussion kind of environment, but yeah, it is a very stressful time.
Do you think that looking back on it, that maybe your experience as a lecturer kind of helped you through that process and being able to address your peers on who are now your peers on your topic?
Yes, certainly it helps, because the experience adds to that, and which areas to focus on. And also a very interesting thing I want to add, that the thing I learned in the UGA is the thing to unlearn and relearn your things, because many of the concepts which we had before, they were kind of outdated. So we kind of learned, I would like to mention insect taxonomy, which is changing every day. So we kind of like learning from the top-notch professors here, and they were just like, the paper published last day, and they're teaching the next day in the class. So it was pretty much a very interesting experience just to unlearn and relearn the process.
That would be difficult.
That's awesome. Yeah.
Yeah, that is awesome. Now, how many schools from the University of Georgia will be represented at Thursday's graduation?
Of four. Did I say it right? Yes, I did.
Yeah, four is a number.
Yeah, four. Because Terry doesn't have any students. They were set to come, but as far as students participating in the celebration, they don't.
Oh, I thought you were talking about pronunciation. No. My apologies.
No worries. I had to think through all of my notes of who's coming. Yeah, but I'm excited that the deans, and or their representatives will be there. And that's a big deal, because these folks are busy. And so we appreciate, them taking time to come from Athens to support our students.
Now, I should remember this, because I do this twice a year where we focus on graduation, and it escapes me, and I apologize. But how many classes, since you've been with the campus, what number class will this be in graduation?
I actually, Tony, I have to research that. I have no idea. I think I don't know, because Dr. Honeycutt had gotten it down to a science, because I think it was like 2006 was the first. And so like if you multiply that like by two, then that'll be our number. But then
COVID kind of threw a wrench into things, even though we had the graduation ceremonies. Does it kind of feel like the ones that were lost to the pandemic almost don't count? I mean, it certainly accounts for the students, but not having the ceremony. You know, that's got to make it difficult to not give them the proper send-off.
Sure. You know, we had that same conversation in the committee, you know, meeting the other day. And the thought was, let's bring back the intimacy, if you will, of the moment. Because the conversations that I've had with students and I've had with parents is that they appreciate how personalized, if you will, the celebration is. And so one of the things that several people in the committee advocated for, and we're adding it back, is a reception where the program coordinators and the major professors will have conversations and will really kind of share out their thoughts about each one of the students, because you can't necessarily do that. Some programs are facilitated in Athens, you know, when it comes to the convocations and things of that sort. But on a small level where literally I'm having my major professor and or my program coordinator share nice thoughts about me as I exit the university is something that I think it's important to maintain, right, and to bring back. So we're going to bring that back. The students don't know that yet. They're finding that out now. But
well, Emily's Thursday, already been hit with one bombshell. Right. Might as well give her another.
Right, might as well. So Thursday is going to be a day. You're absolutely right, Tony. Typically, when during COVID, we had 20 minutes or less than 30 minutes to go out and perform or support students in a way of the brick ceremony. But now we're back up to our normal time, you know, and so we probably last like an hour, hour and a half for our students. And that way we can incorporate all of the, quote, special, you know, bells and whistles that we, you know, purpose to, you know, to appropriately celebrate them.
Who is responsible now that keynote speakers are back into the fold? Who is responsible? Is that a role of the graduation committee?
Yeah, but I'm going to blame Dr. Button. So,
well, I'm just saying they have yet to ask me.
Right.
They have asked Bill Taylor from the station, but they have not asked me. I was just curious.
Yeah, but it is Dr. Button, actually, since we're going back to a more of a, quote, formal, you know, celebration.
Well, there's my ex.
Yeah, no. It was appropriate to have a keynote speaker. And actually, this year is Dr. Bill Vinsel. He's been so supportive of the university for years, and he's from the OVP's eyes office, the Office of Instruction, you know.
So, you know, how many man hours go into putting this graduation on? I mean, the students, you know, I certainly appreciate it, but I don't think that they, you know, can appreciate the man hours and the labor that goes into it.
It's a lot. And if I could, you know, be that general and say that it's a lot, but it's worth it. You know, like, I think I've communicated multiple times that graduation is really like a day that I love, because they're doing what they came to do. Like, it's the day that they're being celebrated for what they came to do. They came to the university to receive a degree, right? And we have the privilege, no matter how many hours it is, to support them, you know, in that way. So whether it's putting out fires, we'll put them out, you know, because our students are important. And we get the honor. We get to do this, right? That's my terminology. We get to do the work that supports them in a very important, you know, a moment in their lives. And particularly when it comes to the brick. Tony, I'll never forget. It was one student, he didn't show up to the actual ceremony, but he showed up in his shorts to get his brick, and I was like, what? But so the brick ceremony, my point is, the brick ceremony is something that is so important, so I was really appreciative of the committee working together to figure out how to do it for these students this semester.
Well, now I'm going to try to ask you to not get emotional here, and I know it's going to be difficult, but, you know, what does it mean to you? I mean, you know, you have opened a gateway in part for the students to, you know, further enrich their lives, but by the same time, it's got to be somewhat bittersweet knowing that you're going to be saying goodbye to them, you know. So, you know, what's that experience like, and what do the three here sitting in the studio with us, what have they meant to UGA Griffin?
Well, I tell you, for the simple fact that we invited them to be a part of the radio program today.
That speaks volumes.
It does. And it speaks to who they are. Like, Emily didn't share this, but during COVID, she was our student worker in the office. Can you imagine how hard that was? Like, nothing was happening. Like, it's like, what's happening? What's going on? And she really stood up to the challenge. You know, when I was out of the office at times, like some people, she really stood up to the challenge. So as far as a character and a human being, I really appreciate her for being just a solid human being, right? When it comes to I know your parents are going to be proud because you've served them well. And I remember the first day that I met each one of these students, like Krishna was one of our ambassadors. Yeah. And when I tell you, his laugh is contagious. Like, I love to be around.
I bet he looks sharp in the red coat too.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
UND, and the UGA tie is what sets it off. But and then for Wad, when he first came to the campus, he came in the office, and Missy prepares. We have boxes for the students, welcome boxes and stuff. And so, and for Wad and I worked together. We were purposing to do a new student organization here, but with COVID and all the people transitioning, it wasn't able to happen. But just phenomenal people, Tony. I tell you, I always say, is that, like, yes, I have insurance, but my greatest insurance in life is knowing that I have worked with some phenomenal people, and if I ever need anything, I know they can call, I can call them, and hopefully they know the same, that they can call on us.
Okay, let's get to our students, and being a college student is a terrific thing at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, and especially for Krishna and Fawad. It's maybe not so great working on a doctorate program. It's terrific at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. It's not so great at 3 o'clock in the morning. So was there, and we'll start with you, Emily, was there a dark hour where maybe you thought, I don't know that I'm going to make this? And if there was there anything that available to you on the UGA Griffin campus, be it through support systems or just the people in your classes, your professors, or even Crystal, the people you work with, on the campus, that kind of helped steer you through what might have been some rocky waters?
I remember last semester I took 6 classes and
in a semester. Oh my goodness.
And I was really struggling with that, but I had a lot of supportive people on the campus, including my professors and even Dr. McDowell, because as she said, I worked for her, and they helped me through that. I was able to kind of pace myself through those 6 classes and talk with people and get through it.
Now, for people, because the University of Georgia Griffin campus is renowned for hiring student workers. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's an extra benefit to going there, is that you can find employment if you so choose, more than likely. Does there come a time where you're like, man, I've got to get off this campus for a little while? Or is it more like a family environment where it just seems like it's natural for you to be there?
It's definitely a family environment. I don't feel like I have to get away from the campus at all. I enjoy it. I enjoy being there. It's very relaxing, and I talk to everybody, and they all know me, and it's not... I'm an anxious person, and it doesn't cause any anxiety, if I just say it like that.
Well, Krishna, let's turn to you, and with the same question, was there that moment where you said, maybe I'm not cut out for this, maybe this assignment is too big for me, and if so, what did you do to overcome the obstacle?
Yeah, definitely there are a couple of times I feel like it's pretty challenging, but not feel like I'm going to quit or something. I was always that, that mindset that I'll do it, but still there was a difficulties. Couple of times, like for example, once I was doing a protein extraction thing, I had to extract proteins from turf grass leaves. I did many times, like 5 or 6 times, I still could not find the proteins. I could not get, there was no detection of proteins. I was like, maybe I could not find it, maybe protocol is wrong or something is wrong. I still have to do it by time, and there's that kind of pressures always come in between your research. So, but my advisor was always great for that kind of thing. I go talk to him. He always, says, okay, he always motivated. He always motivated me. Okay, so that helped me a lot. And then we, keep modifying our protocol. And eventually, in 8th time, I was able to extract proteins, and which was really one of the happiest moments in one of the graduate program, entire research program. Experience. So yeah, that one of the experience. Similarly in field research, when we do field research, it mostly depends on environmental situation. Sometimes it doesn't go, weather always, you can't predict, there is also prediction, there's some prediction, but always it's not right. So we had one drought research, and basically when we say drought research, we have to create drought, so we don't need water, rainfall, anything like that. But once it suddenly start raining and mess whole research, so we had to redo that thing. So this challenge came many times, and then that kind of frustrated, and that was a part of learning too. But, with motivation from my advisor and our surrounding people's coworker, it always gave me strength to keep working on my research, and finally I was able to do it.
For why did you always have that light at the end of the tunnel, or did you have an occasion or two where you thought, maybe I'm not doing what I or this isn't panning out the way I thought it might?
Yes, in the PhD, there are many turns like that. And when you, especially the 2 times when I was starting my research and I was not able to figure out like the things, like which research area I'm going to, And I still remember that I was working on an insect that is active in the night. It's tiger beetle. So I used to search it within the campus like after 10 p.m. And it was very like frustrating, like what I'm doing, like I'm just studying an insect and running after that in the nights. But it was during that time, I switched to another objective and it turned out to be really well. And the second time was during the COVID times, because during the COVID times, everything locked up. Mm-hmm. And we were not able to, some days we were not able to visit our greenhouse and do the within the lab research. So that was very frustrating time for us. But like as Krishna said and Emily said, that our major advisors were really nice and they took up this challenge and supported us at that time. And we came out very nicely from that.
Well, I want to ask you both, and Emily, I'm not trying to exclude you on this one, but you guys being international students, we didn't necessarily hear here in the United States about the COVID crisis in Nepal and in Pakistan, like you might hear, like we heard it more commonly, like the United Kingdom or South Africa, where some variants of the coronavirus emerged. What was the COVID situations like in your native countries, and how difficult was it for you at times to focus knowing that there might be problems at home that needed your attention, but you were here working on your doctorate?
Definitely, we had, you know, initially there was not that bad situation when US was, you know, it's going crazy that time here. So for a couple of months it was fine, but later, you know, since our border is open with India, not with China, but India. So, you know, there's a lot of people entering and going like that. Things happen. So, you know.
He was introduced into your country quickly.
Right, right. So, I mean, there's a big population there. So, later it spread really, you know, crazily, really bad. And then, you know, I was worried because my parents are old and, you know. So, that kind of, you know, gave me a hard time in between a little bit. But, you know, things went smoothly later, because I always talk with them like weekly or something. We have always communication through Facebook and Messenger or something. So they were much worried about me because it was going really bad initially in the US than even Nepal. So, but later it was, you know, more bad there, and even vaccine were not there. So, you know, we both worried it for each other.
So you had to kind of go through it twice, once for yourself here in the U.S. and then through your family by proxy in Nepal. So that's got to be somewhat difficult, and it's somewhat of a distraction. So kudos to you for, you know, staying on point with your studies. Fawad, was the experience for you kind of similar with your family, you know, and internationally?
Yes, it was the same as Krishna said. It was like it was double experience because, you know, I also have two kids. So I was...
Wait a minute. Now, you look like you're like 21 years old. I mean, are you an early starter or just young looking?
No, I'm 33. So
woo!
My one is...
Time goes fast.
Yeah. So my one... I have two daughters. So I was... basically, the schools were off and my daughters were at home, and they were also like worried, like what will happen, and everything was uncertain at that time. So it was a hard time, and the thing is that after the vaccine came and everything opened up, so it turned out to be going fine right now.
Well, Crystal, getting back to graduation, I see that Ashley has sent me a recommended question, which I think is a cool question. But, I want to kind of, you know, sorry, UGA, I want to kind of put my own spin on this. But one of the questions that's been pro-offered is that, are there any other new traditions in the works for graduation? And to me, the word tradition might not mean the same as to other people. For me, it is tradition is taking what you were given and then adding something to it.
Sure.
So in that vein, are there new ideas or new functions, new roles, new things that will be added to the graduation ceremony that's being considered? Maybe not for this year, but in the near future?
Sure. Actually, first of all, I really love your definition of tradition. I may have to steal that. That was awesome. So one thing that is new is that bricks will be placed in front of the Student Learning Center. We've never done that before. And you're absolutely right. The challenge of the pavilion not being under construction right now awarded us the opportunity to find a new location of where will we honor our students. Where can we place their indelible mark on this campus? And I think that it is very appropriate to be placed
in the building that they spent, unless you were doing research, but even if you were studying, writing a dissertation, you were in the Student Learning Center. And so to have their names in front of the Student Learning Center, I think is a great new tradition that we're starting. And it, yes, it came out of, you know, a need, you know, an opportunity or a challenge rather, but I think it's going to be awesome. I really do.
Well, do you have any idea of how long the Chapman Pavilion will be under construction?
I don't know. But
and I mean, from what I understand from Dr. Bunton, that there were some pillars. It was never meant to be a permanent structure. It was a part of a ag pavilion during the 1996 Summer Olympics in Atlanta, and it was, you know, through the hard work of some people, it was brought, you know, to the Griffin campus, but never meant to be a permanent structure. And there's been some rotting of some of the pillars, which they're, you know, in the process of trying to correct.
Correct. Exactly. So it's what you make lemon. We made lemonade. Yeah. And this new tradition has come out of, you know, making lemonade, you know, with those lemons. And so someone made a comment that the pavilion is like almost like a spiritual place, even that the gardens.
It's like a temple.
Yeah, it's like very kind of spiritual, very calming,
a pagoda,
you know, space. Yeah. And so, you know, it's kind of sad that we won't be able to be there this semester. I had a professor, I don't know, Dr. Diane Cooper, she retired, and she was like, please tell me I'm going to be able to put my brick, you know, in the pavilion. And I'm like, I need plausible deniability. So, like, no, I can't tell you yes or no. Don't even tell me if you go over there. But at the end of the day, people honor that space because it is a space where you can see donors and students who have, because graduating from the University of Georgia is not an easy feat, you know, let's just be clear on this, you know, and so people have done, you know, really great work and hard work to have their name, you know, literally on our campus in the ground. And so, you know, hopefully, you know, you guys, I know you're going to travel the world, but hopefully you'll come back and visit, you know, visit the campus and visit your brick because it will be there.
Well, and dude, you know, I think you bring up a terrific point that needs reiterating is that, you know, there is a common misconception out there that it is a University of Georgia Griffin degree, and nothing could be further from the truth. The diplomas that these students earn are from the University of Georgia. It just happens to their instruction came on the Griffin campus.
Exactly.
So every bit of prestige that goes along with UGA. Mm-hmm. Hurts me to say that. But.
We feel it. Like, you know, those of us who matriculate, you know, through the university, you earn that degree. You know, it's not whether it's a, you know, PhD, EdD, or, under, you know, whatever. You earn it. Undergrad, you earn it. So, you know, truly a Go Dawgs. That Go Dawgs mean more than just, you know. And I know you're a Georgia Tech person, and I'll try to forgive you for that, but I don't know if I can. But actually, Georgia Tech is a great school because, you know, go Deeks, ACC.
Beatrice Cunningham was our guest last week.
Yes,
I'll have you know.
Awesome, yeah.
And she is a Georgia Tech.
Yes, she is.
And her own, right?
David Yarbrough is too, who helps us with the engineer on campus. He's a Georgia Tech grad too. But, you know, they're still good people.
Well, see, I'm the real anathema to the UGA crowd because I'm just a Georgia Tech fan. Oh, no, I'm not smart enough to go there. I wasn't smart enough to go to UGA. I went to the University of South Carolina, which, you know, pretty much, you know how I got in? Open the door. But, okay, I want to ask this of all four of you. I just lost my... Okay, Crystal, what is the best part of being the student affairs director there on campus? What is the thing that gets you up out of bed ready to go to work?
You know, it's moments like these. I was having a conversation, you know, with another colleague, and the question becomes, you know, impact. You know, do you want a job that you go to and you just, you know, you go 8 to 5, you make money, you know, whatever. But the question for me and the important thing for me is always impact, right? And so I feel let me tell you. So yesterday, it's been a tough time. You know, it's a lot to do, right? It's the busiest time of the semester. And I got a text message from one of, I think she graduated 2 years ago, from one of my students. And she said, and I'm going to try, see, Tony, you're trying to get me to cry. And so she was just talking about, she said, I just wanted to let you know where I am, what I'm doing, that everything is good. And she actually got accepted into one of the doctoral programs. And, you know, she had a change up in her life. And so, and then she said, love. And then she was like, Mama, love you, Mama McDowell, or something like that. And I was like, oh, my God. Like, because, Tony, I'm not old, right?
No, but no, not by any means.
But to the point of that, like, a student felt, you know, that admiration was such a blessing. And I'm going to use that word. It was such a blessing. And I feel like it's moments like that that makes the – hours, the planning, the whatever we got to do, you know, to make sure our students are served, you know, in the most appropriate way because they deserve it.
Well, no, you're far from old. In fact, I'm by far the oldest person in the room. I mean, I look old enough to be Fawad's grandfather, and I'm shocked to find out he's 33 years old. So, Emily, what was the best part of your experience? I mean, what is the, if you can only take away one thing, what would be the most impactful thing on your life going forward that you got from UGA Griffin?
I have made some of the best friendships on the campus. So at my previous college, I kind of got lost because there was so many people on that campus, and I don't put myself out there a lot. But all of the opportunities that I've had on the campus and all of the friends I've made and all the events that I've been able to coordinate on campus, like, it has made, it's made me a better person. I've been able to make some of the most lifelong friendships that I'll probably ever have.
Do you see any irony in the fact that it took you going to a small school to go from introvert to almost extrovert?
Yes, I do. I think it's so interesting. It's kind of forced me to become an extrovert, though.
Well, it does. I mean, and you know, that's just part of the maturation process in general. But Krishna, I want to ask you the same question. You know, what was the most impactful moment, and what is your favorite memory of getting your doctorate here at UGA Griffin?
So as Emily was saying, yeah, of course I have so many good friends in the campus that made, you know, working environment really great and, you know, really unforgettable, you know, friends and environment in our campus, which is definitely one of the thing I would probably remember in the rest of my life, you know, the work we did here together, that was really great. And also, you know, other thing would be, you know, working ethics that people have in the campus was really great. Most of the people I see in, you know, our building are very hardworking. I've seen them working really hard, and that helped me to learn that hardworking skills and ethics too. So that's also very impactful for me because, yeah, you know, I guess wherever I go, whatever I do, we need to work hard, right, to achieve something for life. So I think that's really impactful. That's
Just for yourself, but for posterity and the good. I mean, you know, you're going to be doing some really impactful work in the turf grass industry, right. And that's something that, you know, we too often take for granted. But when the grass turns brown, you know, we got to have somebody to turn to.
That's right.
And Fawad, the same question for you. You know, what was it? You know, the best part of being a student and earning your doctorate here on the University of Georgia Griffin campus?
Yes, the best part was to know many great minds here at the UGA, and also to the one thing I learned from here, and Dr. McDowell like was mentioning, a lot of student activities, and we get a chance to volunteer in those activities and become the part. And I was fortunate to have really good mentors here, and the problem solving, how they see the problem and how the scientific minds, they solve the problem, that was a really great learning here at UGA. And it was fantastic to know these wonderful people. That was the most beautiful part of my stay at UGA.
Well, I just, you know, trying to throw my own experience in here just to give you a measure of context. I started at a smaller school. At the time, it was called Augusta College. It's now Augusta University. And then I transferred to the University of South Carolina. So I went from a smaller school to the bigger school, and it was kind of going from extrovert to introvert. But one of the things that I find distinctly unique about the UGA Griffin campus, more so than any other school I've ever been around, even though, you know, I've been to some pretty good schools myself, but it seems to me that the students pull for one another.
Oh, yeah.
There is actually a rooting interest in the success of all students. There's no petty rivalries or jealousies. It seems like, you know, Crystal, is there anything that you can put a finger on that makes that the case?
I think it's several things. I think, number one, they're just the type of student I feel that we have, whether it's College of Ag graduate students, they're international and bright, or local and brilliant, right? Like, you can find our students solving world problems, making things happen. So that, I think itself, the genuine goodness of these human beings, right? They're coming on into one place, into one space. And then it's almost kind of like, you know, we're processing together, we're developing together. So it's like, you know, almost not correlating it to the military, but you know, like when you go through something together, everybody sticks together, right?
A band of brothers, so to speak.
Right, right. So everybody's like pursuing these hard degrees. So it's like, you know, so I think that's another caveat of it. But at the end of the day, I mean, I don't know what it is, but we just attract some really good human beings and some really dynamic and really smart people.
Well, let me get these couple of UGA Griffin campus announcements out of the way before Ashley Biles is on the phone asking me why I failed to do so. The University of Georgia Griffin campus will be hosting its Boston Butt Holiday Fundraiser this year again. The tickets are $35, and they'll be on sale through next Tuesday, December the 14th. The Boston Butts will be available for pickup Tuesday, December 21st from 4 to 6 p.m. behind the Stuckey Auditorium on the campus. For tickets, call my pal Beth Horn at 770-228-7214. That's 228-7214. Cash and checks only. Credit cards, unfortunately, cannot be accepted. All proceeds from the sale go to benefit the Griffin Spalding County United Way. And applications are now being accepted for the Young Scholars Program that's available on the University of Georgia Griffin campus. It also takes place on the Athens and Tifton campuses, but your interest should be entirely local on this. Visit the website www.ysp.caes.uga.edu for more information an application. The application for deadline is January 31st. The program is designed for high school students that have completed at least their high school year, sophomore year of high school, and are at least 16 years of age. It's an actual six-week paid internship in which the young scholars get to work side by side with mentors on campus on cutting-edge research projects. It looks great on a college application, so parents, grandparents, if you're listening and you think that your child or grandchild has a particular interest in science, particularly in food science, agriculture, or environmental sciences, give the program a look. You can always find out more by visiting the University of Georgia Griffin campus's website. That's www.griffin.uga.edu, and you can find all the details on that. The Griffin campus will be closed Monday, December 27th, and will not reopen again until Tuesday, January 4th, so y'all get a little bit of a Christmas break. Matter of fact, y'all are probably close the 23rd, will you not?
We will be. December the 23rd.
Yeah. Isn't that about when it starts?
It's the 24th. I'm sorry.
Well, y'all are going to work Christmas Eve.
No, not
yeah, the 23rd will be the final day. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I mean, that's the way I would handle it. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I'm not Dr. Bunton, so I'll let him make those calls. But I do think that December 23rd, and this, by the way, will be the final University of Georgia Griffin Campus News program for this calendar year. We've got all this Christmas programming that we have with local sponsors that we have to get in, and plus with the graduation being next Thursday, we didn't want to have to rush Dr. Bunton. We were going to do our year in review program, but we didn't want to rush him. I mean, to him being at the interim director, campus director there, that he really wanted to be a part of it, because he never knows, you know, if they might name him or someone else into that position within the next year or by the time the next graduation rolls around in the spring. So he really wanted to be a part of it, and I didn't feel it was fair for us here at the station to ask him to, you know, really push his time limits. So this will be the final program of the year, and you know, look, we have a blast doing this, and we look forward to what you know, Ashley and Miss Elizabeth can come up with for next year, because you know, I really enjoy doing this. All right, now we're gonna play a little game of salesmanship in our last couple of minutes on the program, and we're gonna ask our students. We'll start with Emily Smith. Sell the public, that sell our listeners on why the University of Georgia Griffin campus is a great place to earn your bachelor's degree.
The professors are some of the best. I have never had a professor that's been able to explain a hard concept to me like the ones on the Griffin campus have, and I have met some of my best friends here that I still communicate with even after graduation.
Okay, Fawad, let's ask you. You know, how would you sell to, particularly to people in your country, but to you know, the U.S. crowd as well, how would you sell the UGA Griffin campus?
So the UGA Griffin campus for the PhD is a good place because all the research facilities here, they are outstanding, and also the professors, they are pretty much focused, and they are kind of solving the real world problems, and it was amazing experience.
And Krishna, same question. Now, sell us on UGA. I mean, you've earned a doctorate, so you have really been through the trial by fire.
Right.
You know, how would you, for someone who is interested in getting their doctorate here, what would you say?
So my doctorate was in turf grass physiology, and I think in all like UGA, University of Georgia campuses, like Griffin campus is one of the top campus for turf grass research, because they have really decent amount of facilities. We have rainout shelter, growth chambers, all kind of facilities for turf grass research. So that for only turf grass, but I'm also a physiologist. So for physiological research also, we have so many instrument facilities that we could do, plant physiological research, like gas exchange measurements and all these different kind of measurements. So molecular research also, we have decent amount of facilities for that. So for those students who want to do research on turf grass science, or those students who want to graduate with their degree in plant physiological research, I think and I believe UGA Griffin campus is one of the best facilities for them all over Georgia.
That's good answer. Yeah. Good answer from everyone across the board. I mean, that's what you want out of a college experience. I mean, you certainly there is the social aspect that Emily touched on, but in the end, all three of them came with the intent of getting that University of Georgia degree, and through hard work and perseverance, they all managed to accomplish that. So I want to thank all my guests this morning, Dr. Crystal McDowell, the Assistant Director of Student Affairs on the UGA Griffin campus, and students Fawad Khan, now earning his doctorate 1 week from today, as will Krishna Kotwal and Emily Smith, who will be getting her undergraduate, her bachelor's degree from the Franklin College of Arts and Sciences. Congratulations to you all. You are a credit to the University System of Georgia. And we, again, this is the final UGA Griffin program of the year. We hope that you'll join us in January of next year. It would probably be the second Thursday in January. We want to give the campus directors a time to get acclimated to the new semester, so we probably won't start that until mid-January. Just looking real quickly at the date, I would suppose it is going to be, the first program will be on January 13th, and we hope that you'll join us at that time. I'm not going to tell you how many hours that is, because I can't multiply it that quickly in my head. But thank you for joining us for this hour, and we'll see you in January for the next installment of the UGA Griffin Campus News.